Hello, friends, and welcome back to the podcast. This is the JRPG Report, episode 140. My name is James Fisher. I'll be your host for today, as always. And just let me go ahead and say, battling those fall allergies pretty hard today. So I do apologize if I'm a bit nasally or have to cough or do any of those fun things. A lot of perhaps you have spring allergies when things are blooming, and that's when yours hit. Mine's when everything dies. That is when it hits me particularly hard. I'm taking the allergy pill. Yeah, I think I even got some DayQuil to try to get some of these sniffles down, but they're still going to be present, so I do apologize. But we've got a really fun podcast for you guys today. While the rest of the world, and in the gaming world in particular, is talking about the PlayStation 5 and the next Xbox systems that are releasing, I think PS5 was actually today, and I think Xbox is, I can't keep up with it. We're not going to be talking about that because, well, it doesn't really pertain to us, at least not today. So we are going to focus on something a bit different. If you notice the thumbnail for today, there are some future plans outlined by both Falcom and Atlas via Sega, their parent company. So we're going to talk about, first off, what they announced, and then we'll talk a little bit about some future things that we know about that are coming, and that will also, of course, pertain to these next-gen systems, all bright and shiny and expensive, and I can't afford it right now. But so Falcom has two things coming up. First off, they are having Falcom Day 2020 Winter, which is an online event held on December the 20th. This will give the latest information on their plans for 2021, which we'll talk about in a minute. Of course, as with any Falcom event, President Kondo will be there. That man is a worker. I tell you, he is also the face of the company and is always out front and center to get the good word out. Of course, there will also be Hajimari no Koseki goods will be sold during this online event. Of course, this is in Japan, so yeah, take that with a grain of salt, whatever that means. But what they also revealed, and this came out during the latest financial report, so we have next year, 2021, will be the 40th anniversary of Falcom. Now, we kind of only started learning about them a few years ago. Early adopters in the Trails series might have known about them before, but I don't think if you were to ask anybody how old the company is, they'd have said 40 years. Of course, they wouldn't have thought Nintendo was as old as they are either, but you know, you don't start off necessarily making AAA JRPG titles from your first get-go. You got to build up to that. So yeah, they are looking to kind of have a big year next year. Falcom plans to release multiple titles for consoles in commemoration of its 40th anniversary, including an all-new entry in the Trails series. So let's speak on that particular bullet point, and then we'll go on to the rest of it. We learned a few weeks ago, maybe a few months ago, about this next Trails game. This is after Hajimari no Koseki, which has already been out in Japan. Still no window on when it's coming to the West. There is another game coming. It is not a sequel to In the Cold Steel or the Hajimari series. It is a completely new game. Speculation has been that it will finally head to Calvard, which is pretty much one of the last places we've not seen in Erebonia. Coming out next year, of course, that is Japan. And with that, the first thought that a Western gamer would have is, good grief, Japan is going to get another game before the previous one comes out in the West. Because I got to be honest, Hajimari making it out next year is going to be a push for NIS America. They have got their work cut out for them. I really hope it happens this time, but I am not, I wouldn't bet on it. Let's put it that way. So multiple titles for consoles in 2021. The first and most obvious thing that I think that they should put out is the Crossbell series, both Zero and AO, because those games have already been put onto PlayStation 4 in Japan. They simply need to be translated. That would obviously be a lot less work than trying to put out other titles. I think the obvious next thing, and this is pretty much dealing with Japan, but you know, we're going to talk about it from a Western perspective as well. The Cold Steel series, the entire four-game arc will be available on Nintendo Switch. I think they're talking about that. What could they also be talking about? The next speculation, and there's a lot of people that would really love to see this, considering it's only available in its entirety on Steam, and the first two games on Vita, and now defunct system, is remastering and porting all three Trails in the Sky games to current, well, it won't be current by next year, but at least modern systems with the ability for, and so by doing those things, you would now have an ability for everybody to pretty much be able to play this entire series of games. Isn't that going to happen for sure? I think we're going to learn some more at the aforementioned winter day here in just over a month. Maybe that's, you know, we're going to lay out some more concrete titles, get some people hyped up about things right before Christmas. It's exciting. No matter how you look at this, it is exciting. It will only not be exciting if these plans don't include the rest of the world outside Japan. That would be bad. Next bullet point. With over 5 million copies sold, and the winner of various awards, including Japan Game Awards, Famitsu Award, and PlayStation Award, the Trails series is one of Falcom's flagship series, including the Yi series. Falcom will expand its game content to multiple platforms, such as PlayStation 4, Switch, PC, and smartphone worldwide, Japan, North America, Europe, and Asia. I mean, they're already on these platforms, so I'm not sure what that means other than, okay, yeah, here comes the mandatory smartphone game. I'm just going to jump over that one. Anyway, Falcom will continue to provide appealing new game content while actively using in-house IP to produce new titles to act as new challenges, including the Trails and Yi series. We talked about that previously when they announced this brand new Tales game, that it was going to be on this new in-house game system that they had created. Think what Square Enix usually does with their games. It's all pretty exciting. It really is. I really would love to see a big announcement and something pertaining to the West at this winter day on December 20th. Until then, it's kind of speculation, but it's good stuff. It certainly is. Now, moving on to Atlus. Oh, Atlus. parent company Sega wants to release more Atlus catalog titles across various platforms following the success of the PC port of Persona 4 Golden. Sega semi-president and CEO Hiroki Satonomi said during Sega's financial reports briefing back on November 6th. I've shared a blurb about this before, but here is his quote. As for Steam, while we haven't been actively releasing Atlus titles on the PC, we felt that there was much potential there to put out a direct port of Persona 4 Golden for PC, and the user response was far beyond our expectations. That being said, we hope to release Atlus catalog titles across various platforms, whether as direct ports or in the form of remasters or remakes. So, PC, Steam players, it does sound like you are going to be getting more games, possibly going, you know, straight back to Persona 3. It would need a complete remake of Persona 1 and 2. I don't think you could just remaster those. Those are, you know, kind of old and broken PS1 games. I don't think they would function in today's setting very well. It does that quote across various platforms should indicate that while going to PC, that platforms such as PlayStation 4 and Switch and or PS5, next Switch, whatever, should be getting these games as well. As I ranted on needlessly, there is absolutely zero reason why Persona 4 Golden is not already on PS4 and Switch. Why it did not release at the same time as Steam, why that was like the test market, I don't understand. Whatever expectations they had for Steam buyers, there's going to be, I don't want to say tenfold, but there would be many more buyers between those two systems than what Steam was able to produce. I would bet money on that. Can you imagine how, I mean, Persona 4 Golden was the flagship title for the Vita, a portable system. Put that on a Switch, and it's a license to print money. It really makes no sense why it's not already happened. So it's certainly good news. It sounds like those things are coming as well. In terms of the future for Atlas, we know it may be very, very early, but we know they're working on a Persona 6 of some sorts. It has to be coming. The thumbnail for today's podcast is from that, remember that fantasy RPG that Atlas was talking about a few years ago, and we've not seen anything about it. I have to believe that game may be further along than we think. It will be a PlayStation 5 title, and maybe they're just waiting until it gets out the door before they really start showing this thing off. And, you know, try to come out in like 2022 or something like that. Maybe the next year for a Persona title. That would seem to be about the timeline for those big games. Would really like to hear some more about those titles. But like I said, I think they're still fairly early in the development process. We've got a new system generation coming out now. Those things take time. You throw the pandemic on top of everything. So, yeah, everything's just kind of on a weird timeline right now. It doesn't feel like we're getting a new system today because of, you know, most people are getting their ship to their house. There's not going to be 1,000 people probably standing out in line at midnight for these things. It's just not. It's a very different launch house. So, are you guys excited about what Falcom and Alice have planned for us? I know I am. I'm a little hesitant to like jump all in on these things because I do want to see some more concrete things before I really say so, but encouraging news. Sounds like 2021 is going to be a pretty good year for JRPG gaming, and we'll just have to wait and see all the good stuff that we get. If you didn't have $400 or $500 to slap down on a new system this year, but you do have about $60 or so, of course you can go and pick up right now a new JRPG today, I believe. That's correct. And that is Yakuza Like a Dragon. It is available for Xbox Series, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Sorry, PS5. Of course, you get to wait until March 2nd of next year for some reason. But yeah, they had a new launch trailer for the game, as most of these big ones do. You can check that out over on our YouTube channel. In case you haven't seen the, I mean, I don't know, like 10 or so other trailers. I'll give them this. They've done a pretty good job trying to promote this game. I've not seen that kind of push for, you know, because this is not a huge, huge Final Fantasy, Dragon Quest type, you know, Trails type of game persona. This is a smaller one, but I've seen more media for it than, we didn't get hardly anything for the Trails of Cold Steel 4. So they've definitely done a good job. Obviously, this is a new entry in that series, a new direction, so they probably feel like they had to, but they did a good job. I shall give them kudos for that. Capcom has had a really good sales year this year in particular. Resident Evil 7 Biohazard, Resident Evil 2, 3, Street Fighter 5, Devil May Cry 5, but JRPG, they had Monster Hunter World and Iceborne sales. Monster Hunter World sales total worldwide 16.4 million. Iceborne has added on another 6.6 million. The game has been a pretty phenomenal success for Capcom. Monster Hunter World is nearly double what Resident Evil 7 Biohazard did. So that's pretty impressive in about 2.5, almost 3 years were the sales. So that's pretty impressive. They are raking in the cash even in spite of all of this that's been going on all over the world. That's just the way it goes. If you are interested in Scarlet Nexus, how that is shaping up, in particular, the second protagonist, Kasane, I guess that's how they say her name. You can check out a full 10 minutes of a recent live stream that they did. Xbox launched, and they did a 6 hour or so live stream now. It was about 10 minutes of this gameplay, and I went ahead and chopped it up and put it over on YouTube so you wouldn't have to skip around and watch all the stuff. If you're just interested in Scarlet Nexus, you can check that out. Still no firm release date on it. It's in development for PS5, for Xbox Series X, Xbox One, and PC. I do believe it's supposed to come out early 2021. It looks like it's pretty far along, so we shall see what's going on with that. In other Xbox news, if you're looking for a JRPG to play and you've got Xbox Game Pass, well, you can play Final Fantasy VIII Remastered. That's pretty cool. When is that one coming to it? Let's see. I got to scroll down here. November 12th. Oh, perfect. Today, you can check that game out as part of your what you're already paying for. You might as well start playing it, right? Of course, they have certain things leaving and coming and going all the time, so you'll want to get in there and check it out as soon as you can. So we're getting close to the part where I normally have that anchor commercial break. Don't have that one anymore, as they still haven't quite figured out what's going on with there. So instead of a break, I will go ahead and throw it out there. This podcast, yes, it's free to publish it out there, but it does cost me time and money. And I kind of made this deal last week. If you guys will check out our listener support, either through Anchor or through Patreon, JRPG Report, if I get enough of you guys to sign up for that between now and Christmas, I will not go and seek out ads. I know you guys don't want to listen to those things. I don't want to have to read them. I don't want to have to go find ads to read on a podcast. That's not fun for anybody. So if you got a couple bucks in your pocket and you enjoy what you hear each and every week, I would truly appreciate the support. Off the top of my head, I'm sorry I forgot who it was, but we definitely had at least one person step up and made a significant contribution. So we're off to a great start. And if a few more of you guys will do that, I'd be more than happy to not sit here and A, beg for money, or B, read silly ads that nobody wants to hear. No. we've talked a little bit about all the that new Tales of Lunaria game. It keeps getting trademarks all over the place. It sounds like this is definitely going to be a thing. Bandai Namco will host a Tales of Series 25th anniversary live stream. A date will be announced fairly soon. I have a feeling not only are we going to hear about what this Tales of Lunaria is, but hopefully some sort of just something. Please tell us what in the world is going on with Tales of Arise. What other better opportunity would you have to not only look back at the 25 years of a great gaming series, but also the future? Because yes, you should celebrate your past, but you have to give your fans something to look forward to concrete in the future, because we just don't know what's going on with this game. There is And there's, you know, all you leave is room for speculation, which is never really a good thing. So hopefully we'll get something as soon as I hear that date. I will let you guys know. A couple updates. We mentioned last week about Genshin Impact version 1.1. It is now all live, and you get some update maintenance compensation, bug fix compensation. Not a whole lot there, but better than nothing, right? New characters, new content, all that fun stuff that goes along with an update. That is live as of right now. And there's also an update for the PC version of Final Fantasy IV. It's got a new user interface, full screen support, and language options for Asians. Or Asian language options, that's probably the better way of saying that. I'm sorry. And of course, various bug fixes. This update will also be live for iOS and Android versions that support full screen support. There is a patch update trailer for it if you'd like to check it out over on our YouTube channel. I really enjoyed Final Fantasy IV. It's one of those games that was paramount to my upbringing as a young lad. And I really loved the full motion videos that they made for this thing since then for the PC version. And just looks incredible because you have this vision of these, you know, pixelated characters in your head, and then to see them in full CG and walking around like the thumbnail for the November patch has the four fiends on it, and you're like, oh my gosh. And of course, the all the heroes as well. And you're like, oh, it just gives you all the feels. It's so cool. But yeah, if you've got that already, or if you're looking to get it, now would be a perfect time to check that out, as looks like they've made some pretty good improvements to it. So it finally appears that NAS America has solved the problems with Trails of Cold Steel 4's Digital Deluxe Edition. As of 2 days ago, they reported that all the users should be able to access all the DLC. The game they fixed fairly quickly, but the access to all the DLC, it wasn't working. people were, I think they even had to go through the process of getting it refunded and buying it again. So they had a big, big problem with it. As far as I have seen, if you didn't pre-order all that stuff, all the DLC, you could, you know, buy it afterwards on the PSN store. But yeah, major, major black eye for NS America and their handling of this entire situation. I mean, things happen, you have to respond to it. But it seems like that's a pretty, pretty bad thing to have to have gone through. Trials of Mana fans, who is your favorite protagonist in the game? Well, according to a poll in Japan, Reese, that was how you said her name, wasn't it? The Amazon warrior type chick. That was the official winner of this anniversary they did back at the 25th anniversary of it. So let's see. Second was Angela. Third place, Hawkeye. Kevin got fourth. Doran got fifth. And unsurprisingly, Charlotte got sixth, hopefully receiving zero votes because she was just terrible. If you are a Final Fantasy 14 player on your PlayStation 4 and you would like to port that over, we remember we talked about there is going to be a PS5 version of it. There are some precautions that you should want to go through. Square Enix has published a new post on the Final Fantasy 14 website that kind of goes over the procedures that you will need to go through in order to migrate that from PS4. To PS5, you must first utilize the server backup function to upload settings to the server first. Only then can you move on and then restore those settings. I am giving you the Cliff Notes version of this, I'm sure. So if this affects you, go to the website and go through all those steps. Don't just say, well, James said all I got to do is this. I don't know. I don't play this game. So you will want to go to the source, and I am not it. I think it's awesome that they are doing this. This probably won't be the first nor the last to take advantage of that. If you are playing the Final Fantasy Brave Exvius mobile game War of the Visions, they are going to have a special collaboration with Final Fantasy X. That's pretty cool. This says it's Japanese users. I don't know if that's going to affect. Surely that would affect all versions of it. So far, all I'm seeing is Tidus, Yuna, and Auron. Maybe they'll get some more. If you don't have Riku, there's no... You gotta have Riku. Lulu. Kamari. Why not? You gotta have all the gang. Get them in there. So you have to wait and see if that affects the Western version as well. But it's pretty cool to see. See, you know, some characters from Final Fantasy X. Definitely one of my more favorite entries in the series. Rune Factory 5. Got some more details and images. Several new characters, including romance options, Lucy and Cecile, and townspeople Simone, Terry, Hina, and Julian. If you'd like to see all these characters, there's quite a few images to go along with those. You can check out the Facebook page or our Twitter account. You can see all those. If I get a chance tomorrow, I'll put these images into a slideshow and put it over on YouTube. Just kind of depends. Time is at a premium. Not quite as bad as I was last week having to race out of here to work, but it's still going to be pretty close. So Rune Factory 5 is due out for the Switch on May the 20th, 2021 in Japan, and sometime in 2021 in the West. Last thing I want to talk about on today's a little shorter than usual podcast. Wasn't a ton of stuff to talk about this week, to be frank. And I'll be honest, until 2 days ago, I was going to send out the message probably yesterday morning that we were just going to skip this week because there wasn't anything. Like, there was just this complete lull of news, and had a few little things from last weekend, but then like the beginning of the week was nothing, but then a bunch of stuff started popping up yesterday and today, so it gave us plenty of stuff to talk about. That's going to be the case some weeks. There's just not going to be anything to talk about, and we may take a week off here or there, but Atelier Ryza 2 had a bunch of stuff to talk about. So first thing that we saw, this was pretty much right after we went on last week, I think the next day. Koei Tecmo and Gus released a new gameplay battle video. It's only about 2 minutes long. You can check that out, of course, over on our YouTube channel, but it shows off some of the fatal drives and a lot of the special moves for each of the characters. Getting me more and more pumped up about this game coming out in January. Of course, I'm still super deep into Trails of Cold Steel 4. I just got to Act 2 last night. It's shaping up to be a pretty long game. You can check out our nightly live streams for that if you are curious over on YouTube. I usually try to get started around 10 o'clock, maybe a little later tonight because of the football game. My Titans are in action, so of course I need to cheer them on. But yeah, you can check that video out over there. It was announced that the two kind of mysterious characters from Atelier Ryza, Lala and Impel, will appear in part two as well. They have apparently been continuing their travels in search of something, of a certain something. Well, that's even more mysterious. Impel is surprised to see Tao's growth, while Lala appears to be worried about the lifeless looking Lint. I kind of think we all are. So in those 3 years in between these first two games, Lint looks like he has went on a bit of a downhill spiral. Hopefully getting back to the group will help kind of put that getting back to where he needs to be at. The Puni Raising will add a new leveling system. Puni at higher levels will get you more quantity and rarer items. The Ateles will get a big upgrade with the ability to rearrange the area. I like that idea. Since you'll have two floors to work with, there's plenty of space for all kinds of decorations or furniture. You could add items in the first one or change like the wallpaper. You could change some of the features on the outside of the secret hideout. But in terms of doing any sort of personal style to it, it was really pretty limited. And I didn't even get that many items to put in the atelier. So I'm happy to see those things coming along nicely. Let's see. What was the other one? I think this is the same article. Yep. I've got two sources for most of my information, either Gamatsu or Siliconia. And yeah, they're pretty much the same. So during a live stream that I think went on today, yeah, so I'm glad we kind of waited to this. They detailed some of the Digital Deluxe and Ultimate editions that will be made available digitally. Here is what's in the Digital Deluxe edition. You get the base game along with additional costumes and gathering spots, including the Kurken Island Gathering Tour, another style costume set, the Summer Memories costume set, the Helpful Item set, and the All You Need gym pack. Now, the Ultimate Edition, you get all that stuff, plus the special season pass bonus Ryza costume, Mysterious Book Alchemist. As part of that season pass, you get 12 paid downloadable contents, each planned for release later in the year for a lower price than buying them individually. That's kind of the idea, isn't it? Expected to release in April, so that's 3 months after you get all the swimsuit sets. And also in April, a recipe expansion pass. In May, another recipe expansion. Starting in April, you get an additional area called Keldora Castle. You get a high difficulty level area called Flame Sun Island. Ew, that sounds bad. Also in April, some more BGM tracks. So lots of different additional items are going to be available for that. I'll see if during this live stream, I haven't seen a video for it just yet, but as soon as I do, I'll see if I can't cut out some gameplay or different stuff that's been seen during, I think, what is that? So it happened today at 2100 Japan Central Time. So there should be something coming out for it pretty soon. Just keep an eye out on our YouTube channel, and I'll see if I can't throw that up there for you guys to check out. So, how many of you guys got a brand new system this week, or you kind of had to wait on? I think my brother's getting his tomorrow. That's just the way it worked out. So, I am definitely going to get a PlayStation 5. The latest word is Ratchet's supposed to come out at some point in early 2021 or spring, something like that. That's probably when I'm going to plop down for a new system if we've got the money. That's kind of the key point when you've got $500 extra laying around. Because, of course, I'm a physical collector. I've got to have that version of it. Have you guys got it? What games did you get? Looks like Spider-Man has been a must-buy for sure, but I think we're going to have to wait just a little bit longer. Obviously, Atelier Ryza 2 will be one of the first ones that you can play on PlayStation 5. You'll get Yakuza Like a Dragon come March. So, you know, typically with new systems, it's a while before we have anything to play on it. You've got the new Neptunia game should be coming out for it fairly soon as well, so I usually don't talk about new systems in JRPGs, so it's good to see that we're going to have something to play on them, even if it's nothing that's been like specifically developed for these new systems. It's still going to look better, hopefully, than its PlayStation 4 counterpart. apart. All right, I'm going to go take me some more allergy medicine and get to work. Hope you guys have enjoyed this one. This has been the JRPG Report, episode 140, and we will see you guys again next week. I'm going to try to put together a Sunday special for this week. I got those soundtracks along with Cold Steel 4, so if I can remember and have the time, maybe on Saturday I'll put those together and try to have something for you on Sunday. If not, it'll be next week for certain, but keep your fingers crossed something comes out on Sunday. Till next time, my name is James Fisher. Thank you so much for tuning in each and every week to your weekly JRPG News podcast. Till next time, get back out there and level up.